Hello, friend. Today we find evolution is undermining all our Christian doctrines. We can clearly see humanistic teachings that have been incorporated into our public schools and universities of so-called higher learning, undermining and well-nigh destroying the moral compass so crucial to a free and moral society. We can see the fruit that it has borne in the many corruptions and perversions sweeping across the land, infecting our young people. Take, for example, the school shootings every other day. The disregard for human life, the confusion regarding one's gender are all catapulting us in a downward direction. When the Bible teaching about creation and our origins concerning God is discarded, mocked, and ignored, all Christian teachings and doctrines collapse. Satan likes to cloak himself under the guise of evolution to secretly steal away the faith of millions by his clever deceptions. The very fabric required for a principled, law-abiding people to thrive and self-govern is based on foundational pillars that God Himself has ordained. History has shown us that when we forget God and allow human arrogance, pride, and self-indulgence to bear sway, we end up like those people in Noah and Lot's day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5 tells us that scoffers will come in the last days being willingly ignorant of what? That the world that existed then perished by the waters of the flood. Let's examine seven facts that show evolution removes the pillars of Christianity. Fact number one is the belief in the supernatural is ridiculed and denied. Religion loses its force if faith in the supernatural departs. Paul declared that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Believing this, he had hope and could preach a mighty message to men and look beyond the compass of this present material world. But the evolutionary view of life demands that we place confidence only in those things which are seen or can be discovered with our natural senses. This means that the whole framework of Christianity is shattered, for all our beliefs require the intervention of God in the affairs of men. One of the principal proofs of Christianity is the many supernatural miracles. When John the Baptist desired evidence as to whether Christ was indeed the Messiah, his disciples were instructed to return and tell him what mighty miracles they had witnessed. Their Christian belief in the Bible, in prayer, and in Christ all require belief in the supernatural. Fact number two, the Bible is under attack. Our belief in the Bible rests on our confidence that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible then is like any other book if divine inspiration is removed. A leading spokesman for evolution states, "General belief in a supernatural revelation attested by supernatural miracles and influencing the lives of men by supernatural processes has been undergoing change. The universality of law in the natural world has led men to look for natural law in the spiritual world also. Supernaturalism, even in religion, is a great stumbling block to those who find naturalism everywhere else. It makes religion not only unnatural, but unreal to many. Accordingly, we find among scientific exponents of religion a strong current in the direction of naturalism rather than supernaturalism. Miracles, which once supposed to prove the existence of the supernatural and the authenticity of religion, have become a source of doubt rather than of faith in this scientific age." That's from Ed G. Conklin in his book, In the Direction of Human Evolution. Fact number three, prayer is made meaningless. Belief in prayer is undermined, not simply because it involves supernatural powers, but because it is held that there is no personal God to whom we can pray. Men have poured out their souls to God because they have viewed Him as a compassionate Father whose ear is ever open to hear their cry. Prayer becomes meaningless, and no one will engage in it when God is viewed as a vague, impersonal force. Fact number four, Christ's divinity is denied. Christ's advent to this world calls for a miracle, the virgin birth. His rising from the grave calls for a miracle, and his departure out of this world, you guessed it, calls for a miracle. It was by a miracle of the virgin birth that God was manifest in the flesh. It was through the miracle of the resurrection that the full assurance of escape from sin and the grave was given to us. If Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And it is in the miracle of his ascension that we are to find a primary pledge of his little return to take us unto himself. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven. So spoke the messenger to the disciples, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Evolution would find no place for Christ. The Bible represents him as the Savior of men. Said the angel to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Paul couples the beginning of sin with the redemptive work of Christ. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Evolution has so completely robbed the word sin of its biblical meaning that the work of Christ is in turn made meaningless. Fact number 5, the fall of man is repudiated. Evolution has no place for the doctrine of the fall of man. The fall owes its meaning to the doctrine of creation. A perfect man fell from his high and holy estate in a perfect world. This is the basis for the Bible view of sin. Evolution explains the problem of evil this way. If evolution be true, and especially if man be indeed a product of evolution, then what we call evil is not a unique phenomenon confined to man and the result of an accident, the fall. But must be a great fact pervading all nature, and a part of its very constitution. It must have existed in all time in different forms and subject like all else to the law of evolution. That's from Joseph LeConte in his book Evolution and Its Relation to Religious Thought. Do you see what's happening, friend? If we have no Adam, we have no fall. No fall, no need for an atoning sacrifice. No atonement, no need then for a Savior. This, my friend, you can trace back to the enemy of souls. Satan himself lies behind every doctrine that denies or minimizes the need for Jesus, our beloved Creator and Redeemer. It is in the glorious light of a perfect creation that sin stands revealed as the hideous thing that it is. But evolution blots out that light and leaves only the deepening shadows for the beginnings of our world, out from which dark shadows man is said to have been slowly emerging for millions of years. Evolution, too, blots out the glorious light from the cross, that light which reveals the price heaven paid to save us from sin. Fact number 6 is the Ten Commandments disappear. The Bible sets forth sin not simply in relation to the two great historical events of creation and Calvary, but also in relation to the great moral standard for all mankind, God's holy law. 1 John 3:4, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If God's royal law loses its authority, sin loses its sinfulness. When mankind no longer has the conviction that there is a fixed moral standard, they soon come to believe sin is merely a departure from some social practice or custom. Evolution can take the credit for leading many to have this view, which has caused untold misery and lawlessness in our society today. In fact, number 7, the blessed hope vanishes. We who believe the Bible look backward to creation where all was perfection and where a personal God communed with man. We look forward to a new creation where all will be restored anew once more, where God will dwell with us. It is in this light of the first creation that we're able to see the beauty of God's plans for us in the new creation. Only as we put our faith and confidence in the opening chapters of Genesis can we have the same faith in the closing chapters of Revelation. All this is but another way of saying that evolution blots out the Bible hope of a better world. The present emphasis of the various churches on the social gospel, that's a general term to describe endeavors to solve the social, civic, and international problems. This idea owes much to the belief that whatever improvements are made in our world, man will have to make them. Thus, we find that the whole structure and framework of Christian doctrine is destroyed, eating away virtue and morality like a runaway cancer called evolution. Once that theory is applied, it eats everything wholesome and godly until it collapses in its own futility. I hope it's clear to you that there can be no harmonizing of evolutionary understanding in the doctrines of the Bible. Once you destroy the foundation in Genesis, you destroy the doctrines that flow from that foundation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, says Hebrews 11:1. Don't forget to click the link below to join our online Bible school called Thunder in the Holy Land. This will increase your faith in the Word of God, for that is the only safe place to put it. God bless you, friend. Until next time.